Lech Lecha begins with the instruction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu that he should move to Eretz Yisrael. We have later in the Chumash, the Torah tells us, all of us, we're all supposed to move to Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban considers this one of the 613 mitzvahs that every Jewish person has to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam did not count this in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So the commentaries have a whole discussion. Why did the Rambam not include this in the Sefer HaMitzvah? So the Knesset HaGdoila gives a suggestion that maybe the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only by the Rabbanim. There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the mission and the end of Ksubas. It's very hard to deny it. So the Knesset HaGdoila wants to suggest that the Rambam thinks that it's only a mitzvah in the Rabbanim. It's very difficult. How can you read the Chumash? From the Chumash, from the beginning to the end, it sounds like there is a mitzvah min haTorah to live in Eretz Yisrael. They once asked Rav Kook, why did he become so crazy about moving to Eretz Yisrael? Well, what triggered his love for Eretz Yisrael? He says from the time he see Parshas Lech Lecha till the end of the Chumash, everything revolves about Eretz Yisrael. How can you not? How can you not consider the significance of living in Eretz Yisrael? It's interesting, the Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, the Rambam does not make such a big tzimmus about living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam lists off all the mitzvahs, and there are certain mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so he writes all the mitzvahs. The Kuzari has a different presentation. The Kuzari was earlier than the Rambam. The Kuzari writes, the center of all of the mitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. The main place for Kima mitzvahs, the Ramban has a Chumash like that. The main location for Kim Kol HaMitzvus is really in Eretz Yisrael, and all the Kim HaMitzvus and Chutz Loretz is of a secondary level of significance. So it's really hard. True, the Rambam doesn't make such a big tzimtzum about living in Eretz Yisrael like the Ramban does, and like the Kuzari does, but still, how can he deny that there's a mitzvah and a Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So most of the commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvus suggest a different explanation. Why the Rambam didn't count it as an independent mitzvah, they think it's part of some other mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of Uvo Sidbok, to be close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One who lives in Eretz Yisrael will be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or it enhances every mitzvah, like the Ramban says. One who observes Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, so the Shabbos is on a higher level. One who wears tefillin in Eretz Yisrael, tefillin is on a higher level. One who sits in Sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, Sukkah is on a higher level. So living in Eretz Yisrael is the main place for Kiyum Kol HaMitzvah. So it's really a detail within all the mitzvahs. So it's a mitzvah klolus, it's a general mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah pratis. They give all kinds of suggestions. Basically, most of the Mefarshim don't say like the Knesset HaGdoila. Most of them assume the Rambam agrees also that it's a mitzvah min haTorah, but for some reason or another, he thought that it doesn't deserve to be counted as an independent mitzvah. It's subsumed under some other mitzvah. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu Lech Lecha? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that it'll be for your own benefit to live in Eretz Yisrael. So some explain that it says right after this, Avraham Avinu arrives in Eretz Yisrael, right away there's a famine, Vahirah Ba'aretz, Vahirah Avraham Mitzrayim Alog Hashem, Kechavid Harah Ba'aretz. He leaves Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban on Chumash writes that this was a sin on the part of Avraham Avinu. He wasn't permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him to Eretz Yisrael, and the Rav was an Isayon, and he failed. He failed in his sight. It's very problematic. I think in Chevelle's edition of the Ramban, he writes in the comments that there's a source in the Zohar for that Ramban. The Ramban doesn't quote the Zohar. So before people were aware that the Ramban had a source in an earlier source in the Zohar, people were surprised. What do you mean? The Ramban is picking on the others. He says Avraham Avinu did something wrong. The Pashta says that he didn't do wrong. The Essen is he passed all of the tests that he had. He did right. So how did he know Tak he's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? So some say that was the initial instruction. Lech lecha lahanoscha l'tayvoscha. Go to Eretz Yisrael if it'll be lahanoscha l'tayvoscha. If it's going to be a famine in Eretz Yisrael, you're not mechayiv to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say based on this phrase, lech lecha lahanoscha l'tayvoscha. The Gemara just says, in Baba Basra, that when there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael, it depends. So if it's, I remember there was a student of mine who who was a doctor in California, and they moved to Eretz Yisrael, and I met him, and he said he's going to have to move back to America. because he lived in Eretz Yisrael. He tells me he lived in Savion, a very poor section in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Savion, and he only made $500,000 a year. And when he lived in California, he made $2 million a year. I didn't realize that doctors made so much money. And he says his wife cannot get used to living in poverty. So I was gonna give him a $10 donation, but my poor guy living in poverty. So if a person can get a job in Eretz Yisrael and make $500,000 instead of $2 million, so he's mechuyev to live in Eretz Yisrael. To live in Eretz Yisrael, to live off of welfare, off of charity, that's not a mitzvah. If you can make a decent parnasa, you mechuyev to live in Eretz Yisrael. If the times are so bad that you just have to live off of tzedakah and it's extremely uncomfortable, then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what some explain. That was told to Avraham Avinu from the very outset. Lech lecha l'tayvoscha l'hanoscha. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if it's within reason. If it's unreasonable, you're not mechuyev. There's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael on charity. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu he should go to Eretz Yisrael, and there he will become a goy, as opposed to the other mishpachos of Adoma. The halacha declares that the Jewish people, Mikam Chesol Goy Echad Ba'oretz, the Jewish people are the one and only goy. We are the only group that has the status of a goy, and the others are called mishpachos. We mentioned it. Whenever you have a mixed marriage, if one parent is a kohen, a levi, and the other one is not, a fakir, whatever, so the halacha says, the mishpachosim lebeis avoisam. That's a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. That mishpacha sav kri mishpacha, mishpacha same any kri mishpacha. The status of the children is determined by the father as opposed to the mother. And then the Gemara says the same is true regarding nochrim. If two non-Jews marry and they come from different nationalities, so the halacha recognizes specific. We don't recognize Italians as separate and Puerto Ricans as separate and Haitians as separate. But we recognize certain Bekovedik nations like Ammon and Moab and Mitzri Vadoimi and the Zionumis and Amalek. They have a special place in our heart. So these special nations have a special status. So what's the halacha if you have an intermarried couple? The father's an Amaleki, the mother's not. The father is an Ammoni, the mother is not. So the Gemara says, Bu'umis halacha acharazocha. The status of the children is determined by the father. And the Rishonim explained, the Gemara doesn't say why, the Rishonim explained it's based on that pasuk in the beginning of Bamidbar that says, L'mishpachosam l'veis avoisam. So if you have a mixed marriage where both parents are Jewish, the status of the children is determined by the father, whether he's a kohen levi or shevet zvulon, shevet yisachar. If you have a mixed marriage, both parents are non-Jewish, so the status of the children is determined by the father. So how come if you have a mixed marriage and one parent is Jewish, one parent is non-Jewish, nobody says that it's determined by the father? There were three opinions in the days of the Tanoim. One opinion that you need both parents to be Jewish in order that the children should be Jewish. One opinion that either the father or the mother are Jewish, then the children are Jewish. The Reform finally woke up after so many years. This opinion was over 2,000 years ago. It was outvoted already. So there was such an opinion. And the accepted opinion is that it's all determined by the mother. How come there never was a fourth opinion? There should have been the main opinion that everything should be determined by the father. Whether the children are Jewish or not should be determined by the mishpachosim and the beis avosim. So the answer is, l'chayre, that to determine whether someone is an Amaleki or a Knani or a Mitzri, a Doimi, or a Amoni, Mayobi, and so on, that's a function of mishpacha. They're not called goyim, they're mishpachos. But to determine whether someone is a kohen or levi or yisrael, so the mishpachos kohen and mishpachos leviya. But to determine whether someone is Jewish or not cannot be a function of which mishpacha he belongs to. The haraya that we have a principle of geirus, a non-Jew can convert. He's not a blood relative of anybody. He doesn't belong to any mishpacha, and still he has the same din as any other Jew. He's Jewish. This idea of Geirus was already told to Avraham Avinu. He said, "V'nivrichu b'cho kol mishpachos v'adoma." So we usually assume "va'avorcha mevarchecha" means God says, "I will bless those who bless the Jewish people." So then you read the end of that pasuk, "V'nivrichu b'cho kol mishpachos v'adoma." All the nations of the world will either be blessed because of you, or they will bless their children. You should grow up to be like this Jewish person. You should be successful in life like the Jewish person. So we usually assume "v'nivrichu" miloshem brocha. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Rashbam writes on a pasuk. He thinks that that's the Rashbam always writes Pshuto Shel Mikra. He writes. He argued with his grandfather Rashi. Right? Rashi wrote all of these additional levels of interpretation. He didn't write Pshuto Shel Mikra. So he writes, yeah, that Rashi, his grandfather, admitted to him if he would have more time, he would write another commentary on Chumash with the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So the Rashbam is the one who wants to write the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So he writes this comment, the Gemara in Yevamos has, she was learning Yevamos this year, the Gemara in Yevamos in the Samachs has a Pshat v'nivrchu miloshen havrocha, havrocha v'harkova, like to graft a branch from one tree onto another tree, is called havrocha. The non-Jews will blend themselves into the Jewish people. In other words, we will be mekabel gerim. Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to found a new nation, Eschol L'Goy Gadol, and you will be able to accept converts into your, you'll be able to accept gerim. So from the fact that we have gerim, is a clear indication that one's status as a Jew cannot be a function of which mishpacha he belongs to. A ger is not the mishpach of anybody. Nonetheless, he's Jewish. So obviously, it's a different issue. Which goy does he belong to? Not which mishpach he belongs to. Does he belong to this goy of the Jewish people? So all the Tanaim assume that that's not governed by mishpacha savkri mishpacha. That's to determine which mishpach he belongs to. But to determine whether you're Jewish has to have some other criterion. So that's why the Tanaim had a whole machlokes. So some Tanaim held you need both parents to be Jewish. Some Tanaim held either the father or the mother. And the accepted opinion, all based on psukim, accepted opinion is that it all depends on the mother. So this chiddush was told to Avraham Avinu that his descendants will develop into it. When we'll go to Eretz Yisrael, we will become a goy. Eschol goy gadol. And the pasuk says, Mikam chesol goy echad bo'oretz. Ba'oretz probably means in Eretz Yisrael. No, Ba'oretz, in Eretz Yisrael. The Iker Mokam for the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael as a Goy is in Eretz Yisrael. We have certain mitzvahs that only apply in Eretz Yisrael. We have certain mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael because they're agricultural mitzvahs. The mitzvahs hopefully is Ba'oretz. Then you have other mitzvahs that are not at all Chovis Karka, but nonetheless they only apply in Eretz Yisrael because the Iker Tziruf of Bnei Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. The Chovis HaTzibur only apply in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam has a whole arichas on that. Rambam, in his commentary on Mishnayis, the Pirush HaMishnayis and Chovis, and Daf Choftes, and Daf Lamed, so the Mishnah there speaks about Smicha. So the Rambam says you can only confer Smicha in Eretz Yisrael. He's quoting a Gemara in Sanhedrin, the first parak, and he gives the reason why, because Smicha is not a private person. I have Smicha, I can confer Smicha to my student. No. When a Rebbe confers smicha to his student, he's representing all of Klal Yisrael in conferring the smicha. That's probably why they had to give the smicha in public. The Gemara says that one of the Tanaim gave up his life in order to confer smicha in public. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Why did he have to give up his life? Give smicha privately. There are a lot of people walking around who have smicha. Nobody knows that smicha doesn't have smicha. So why do you have to give up his life? So you see from the Gemara that the real smicha, today it's only imitation smicha, the real bona fide smicha, supposed to be conferred in public. Why? Because the pasuk says when Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to confer smicha to Yoshua ben Nun, v'tzivisa osu li'einehem, you should instruct Yoshua ben Nun about his smicha, about his leadership in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Sridi Eish points out. It would appear from that pasuk that smicha is supposed to be conferred in public. Why? So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis there, M'choriz Daf Lamed, that smicha is really, the chacham who's conferring the smicha is representing all of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Rambam says it can only be done in Eretz Yisrael, because the Iker Tziruf of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Rambam gives you a source, where do I know this idea from, that the Iker Tziruf of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael? So he quotes the Gemara at the beginning of Chayrus, the beginning of Hayrius, rather, the beginning of Hayrius, that with respect to the din of Par Helam Dovah Shel Tzibur, if the Bez Nagodl made a mistake in Psak and they said that a certain chelav is mutter, a certain kind of dam is mutter, and the Reif HaTzibur, 51% of Klal Yisrael violated the din based on the mistake in Psak of the Bez Nagodl, then the Bez Nagodl reverses the Psak. So then do you require of each and every individual person that he should bring his own chatos? So the Pasuk says if the Rov HaTzibur sinned because of the mistake in Psak of the Bez Nagodl, see, they bring the Parhelam Dovashel Tzibur. We had it on the Avches. The Gemara spoke a lot about the Parhelam Dovashel Tzibur. So the Gemara says in Harius, the beginning of Harius, V'hayroh, when you're talking about the mistaken psak of the Bez Nagodol, halach acharov yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. The 51%, not 51% of world Jewry, all over the world, 51% of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Jews who live in Chutz Lo'etz are not really the Iker Tziruf of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Malachim to indicate this. Kohol gadol melevo chamos anacha Mitzrayim. From the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point of Eretz Yisrael, everybody came when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, when he finished building the Beis HaMikdash, so everybody came to celebrate. And the Gemara says that pasuk seems to indicate that only those who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute the Kohol. Then the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the same is true regarding Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah. It can only be done in Eretz Yisrael because it's a function of Klal Yisrael. He writes a Kiddush that when the Bez Nagodol, the Rambam holds, Bez Nagodol is supposed to be in charge of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah, Kviyas HaLuach, but it's not Bez Nagodol as Bez Nagodol. Bez Nagodol is representing Klal Yisrael, so that has to take place in Eretz Yisrael. Because only in Eretz Yisrael is the Iked Siruf of Klal Yisrael. So that's the simple reading of the pasuk. Go to Eretz Yisrael. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, when you have a national homeland, then you can be considered a nation. With the Jews were floating around the world for so many years of Golos until 1948. We were floating around, but we had a national homeland. We were always hoping and praying to return to Eretz Yisrael. But before you get a national homeland, you can't be considered a goy. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin that the din of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebeseh only began Mishavar Yisrael Asa Yarden, after they crossed over the Yarden and they accepted the Brochas of Klolos of Agrizman Harevel, that was the Ikat Siruf of Klal Yisrael as a Goy, as a nation. So then there was a din of Arevus. In the Midbar, each one was on his own, each one was an individual Jew. The Chaye Yodam has a separate sefer on in Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. It talks about Hafrashas Trumas and Maisvus and Shemitah, the Yovel, Leket Shik Chabe, everything. Then he talks about the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So he raises the Shaila. Is it permissible for the children to move to Eretz Yisrael against the wishes of their parents? There's a mitzvah Kibra Aviyim, and there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So which mitzvah takes precedence? So he discusses pros and cons. And then he discovered a Bereshis Rabbah on this pasuk that comments Lech Lecho. Rashi has the comment over here at the end of Parshas Noach. If you make the calculation, it's obvious that Avraham Avinu left his old father back behind in Choron. If you read the pesukim, it sounds like the father died. Vayomas Terach b'Choron, Terach died. And after Terach died, then HaKadosh Baruch appears to Avraham Avinu and tells him to leave. But if you make the calculation of the dates, it's not correct. Terach died way later. Avraham Avinu left his father. So the Medrash seems to be assuming that Avraham Avinu here was Mezalzal on Kibbut Aviyem in order to move to Eretz Yisrael. So then the Medrash says, Lech Lecho, only you. The different levels of interpretation of why it says Lecho. So one interpretation Rashi has is Lahanoscha the Taivoscha. That's one pshat in the Medrash. Then another level of interpretation is Lech Lecho, only you are allowed to violate Kibbut Aviyem to go to Eretz Yisrael, and no one else is allowed to do that. So the Chayyadim understands that to mean that it's not right. That the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only if it's within reason. But if by moving to Eretz Yisrael, the children are going to hurt the parents' feelings. The parents want them to live nearby. Parents want them to service them, whatever. All the parents, they need a little help. So the Chayyadim assumes that that's the pshat in the Medrash.
Based on the Tosfos in that wouldn't be given up to him.
Well, if the parents need service, let's say the parents need help, they're already older people, that would be to service the parents, that would be Kibbut Aviyem.
How can we say that he's allowed to go to Lahanascha? Because then how can you say it could be Kibbut Aviyem? It's not
a Lishma reason, according to Rabbi Shlomo. Instructed him to. I want you to go to Tevoscha Lahanascha. That's the Lishma. That is the Lishma. We have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael and to enjoy it. Let's say it's a mitzvah, teach halashudas on Shabbos. So when you eat, then you enjoy it. So that's the lishma. That's the mitzvah, to enjoy it.
Why is it a reasonable request for the parents to say, how is that different than the parents saying, I never want you to move anywhere because...
It has to be within reason. Okay, it has to be within reason.
why is that considered within reason?
The children want to move to Eretz Yisrael for the sake of the mitzvah. If there weren't a mitzvah, they wouldn't move to Eretz Yisrael. If they want to move to Eretz Yisrael because there's an opportunity there that they don't have here, so then there's no mitzvah of Kibbutz Aviyim. But over here, they really want to service the parents. They would like to stay here. But they're going to Eretz Yisrael because of the mitzvah. So the question is there's a conflict between the two mitzvahs?
When's the mitzvah being on the Chavir? Kibbutz Aviyim is considered being on the
Chavir. Kibbutz Aviyim is a question whether it's also been on the Chavir, but it's also been on the Lamakom. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Anyway, that's how the Chayyadim understands that medrash. Others point out that the Rambam writes a fantastic Chiddush, and the Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim writes the Dinim of Kibbutz Aviyim. So he writes an idea that doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. The din is that Kibbutz Aviyim applies to a Gersh and his Gayer, Legabi his non-Jewish parents, even though the Halacha says Gersh and his Gayer Kotten Shanala Dami. Alpidin is not related to his parents, even though the biological parents, genetically, they're his parents, for sure. But Gershon is got cut in Shinola Dhamma, so there's no din of Kibbutz Aviyim in HaTorah. So the Rambam writes, but the Rabbanon, there is a din of Kibbutz Aviyim. Why shall Yom Rabbanon Gdusha Chamor L'Gdusha Kala? The Gemara has such an idea. Shall Yom, the Gemara says, a brother and a sister convert, so in HaTorah they're allowed to marry each other, mother and a son. And so on. Min HaTorah they're allowed to marry because they're not related. But Min HaRabbanan we don't permit it. Kedei Shal Yomro, Banim Kedusha Chamor LeKedusha Kala. They shouldn't look as if becoming a Jew makes life easier. Oh, well, because mom, we weren't Jewish, we weren't allowed to marry because it was incest. And now all of a sudden, when you're Jewish, everything is okay. So that's the Gemara does have such a consideration. But again, let's talk a sugya later in Yevamos. It's a sugya later in Yevamos. But the Gemara also says in Yevamos in a different daf in the Chav. So the Gemara says, let's say two brothers convert, so they can testify together. Or one can testify for or against the other one. Even though Kroivim Apsulim La'edas, so the Gemara says, Gershon is got Kukotin Shinola Dami. But people may think that brothers can testify. So the Gemara says, when witnesses come to testify, they come in front of Bezin. Bezin not learned people, they're not Balabatim. So you don't have to have. You don't have to be concerned about that if we'll permit two brothers who are gerim to testify together, to testify one for the other, you don't have to be afraid that maybe a michshol will come out. A michshol can't come out because the bezin is going to see to it that the real brothers will not testify, and these are not real brothers. They're just, biologically, they're brothers, but al pidin, they're not considered brothers. So you see that the dinim that you carry over the kurva from before the geris till after the geris doesn't apply in all cases. With respect to arayas, it does apply. That people shouldn't make a mistake, and Kadesh Aliyamu, two reasons. The Gemara, Kadesh Aliyamu, Banim Kadesh Aliyamu, Kadesh Aliyamu is number one. Number two, people shouldn't think that a brother is allowed to marry a sister, because not everybody's going to ask a shiloh of their rabbis. But with respect to Eidus, they never made such a din mid the Rabbanon. So how did the Rambam know that there's a din of Kibbutz Aviyim mid the Rabbanon by the Ger? There is no source for the Rambam. So the Pashtus is the source of the Rambam is this Medrash Rabbah. The Rambam understood, Lech Lecha, only you, I allow you to leave your parents behind and to violate the din of Kibbutz Aviyim, and other gerim I don't allow. With the Rabbanon, this is the source of that Rambam. Rambam understood the Medrash to mean, other gerim are not permitted to be mezalzon on Kibbutz Aviyim. It means that with the Rabbanon, even though the Medrash is saying that this is what the Rabbanon Shalom said to Avraham Avinu, but what it perhaps means is, mid the Rabbanon, there's a din, Kadesh Aliyam Abanim, Kadesh Hamad, Tushakala, there's a din of Kibbutz Aviyim, mid the Rabbanon, even by Ger, the Gabi, his non Jewish parents. But Bamaka Mitzvah not, the Rabbanon Shalom tells, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael. So even though normally there would be an inyan of Kibbutz Aviyim, mid the Rabbanon, the Gabi, the parents who are not Jewish, but over here, Bamaka Mitzvah, Seish of Eretz Yisrael, so I tell you, you move to Eretz Yisrael. That's what most of the poskim assume, not like the Chayyadim. Most of the poskim assume that the children have the right to, should move to Eretz Yisrael, even if the parents really need them behind, even if it's in conflict with Kibbutz Aviyim. Each one is problematic. The mitzvah of Kibbutz Aviyim only applies when it's reasonable. If it's unreasonable, the mitzvah doesn't apply. And the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael only applies when it's reasonable. So you can say on each one, there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael because it's unreasonable. They're going to lose out on the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aviyim. Or you can say, no, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aviyim is unreasonable because they're going to lose out on the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the Chayyadim had this dilemma. How do you treat the case? So most of the Paschim hold not like the Chayyadim. They hold that that there's no problem. Or a Chaim in his commentary on Chumash has yet an additional level of interpretation on the expression Lech Lecho. Why it says Lecho? Rashi says the Tavoscha Lehanoscha, and the Medrash Rabbah says Lech Lecho. Only you, I only permit you to go. Others, I would not permit to leave their parents behind. Or a Chaim has his own. This is not in the Medrash. Or a Chaim has his own interpretation. Lech Lecho was misunderstood by Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant you should go by yourself. And he didn't do that. He took along Lot, because Lot was a Yosem. His father had died. So he took along Lot, and that wasn't supposed to be the case. So finally, when they both became very wealthy, there was a fight. So Avraham Avinu suggests, let's move to different sections. So finally, Lot moves away, and then it says, "Bashem amar al Avraham achrei hitpored Lot meimo sano in lecho arei." Why does it say achrei hitpored Lot meimo? So that's what the Aruch Haim says. Avraham Avinu made a mistake that he took along Lot. Lot wasn't Jewish. Lot doesn't belong in Eretz Yisrael. It was only for the Jewish people, and Avram and his wife and his descendants and the Gerim. Avram never wanted to convert. So after Lot left of Avram and he lived over there by Sdom, then Hashem appears to him and he says, "I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael." Etc. That's how the Arachaim suggests that this was all included in. I don't think it necessarily means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this Lashon, Lech Lecho. It's not necessarily a direct quotation. But the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu to write this in the Chumash, so the Rechaim thinks and the Medrash thinks that these were all understood. This should have been understood by Avraham Avinu. Some of what Hashem meant was understood. He understood if there's a rob, you leave. And this was not understood, but he should have understood that he's not supposed to bring Nochrim along with him. When they separate, when Lot and Avram separate, so Avram Avinu recommended, "Im hasmol v'yemin v'im hayomin v'as me'ilo." If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. So the Targum Onkelos writes on that pasuk, "If you go to the north, I'll go to the south. If you go to the south, I'll go to the north." Why is the small the north, and why is the yemin the south? So the way we traditionally have a map, we have the north on top. We always have the north pole on top. So we always have the north on top. Years ago, until very recently, the maps all had the east on top. So if the east is on the top, so the left was the north and the right was the south. There's in Chumash quite a few times you have like that. Binyamin was called Benyamini, so Rashi says, because he was born in the southern section of Eretz Yisrael, because the Yamin is the south. Asher Mismola Damasik also says, Mismola Damasik Litzvon Damasik, and so on. Many times in Chumash you have it like that, that small means north, and Yemin means south. The Medrash points out that that seems to be the Pash Bashat and the Pasuk. When Lot was deciding where he wants to move to, so he sees the area of Sodom, that they're very wealthy, and he knew in advance that they were sinners. That wasn't a secret, that was well known. And nonetheless, he chose to live with the sinners in order to be a wealthy man. It says that's the way you make a lot of money. You live in that city, and you make a lot of money. And the Chumash is telling us this, that we should know that when we decide where to live, we should choose a community where there are religious people, where there are honest people. You shouldn't live in a community where they have sinners. Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells that a community approached one of the Tanaim and they asked him to move to his village and to be a rabbi. And he said, even if you give me $1 million, I'm not going to move there. He only wants to live in a community where there are tzaddikim and yirei shamayim. Look what happened to Lot. He fell in over here. Later on, he lost the whole family because of this mistaken decision that he made. After Lot leaves, Acharei hipored Lot mimo, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu and he says, now that you got rid of that Nochri, he doesn't belong here, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. Kol haratz asherat eroi lecho etenenu lezarecho ad olam. I give it to your descendants, the Jewish people. And he tells him, kum salach baratz l'orka l'rochbo ki lecho etenenu. So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure later on what this meant. When Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, this was a similar bonav that kibush Eretz Yisrael will be an easy job, just like walking around the edges will be easy. And kibush tenena means a promise in the distant future. Walk around the borders, and it's easy. And I promise I'm gonna give you Eretz Yisrael when Yishuv Benun will conquer Eretz Yisrael. It'll belong to the Jewish people. Or no, maybe kum hisal baretz constituted the kinyan. Now I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael right now. So the Gemara says that this was the suffix that was raised by the issue when the Bnei Tzolofchad came. We read the Chumash and it sounds like the question was whether women get Yerusha or not. So the Gemara quotes in Beit Yesh Nechlin, the Gemara quotes one of the Talmidim of Rab Meir, one of the Tanoim, who said, no, that they knew all along, that if there are no sons and daughters get Yerusha, that was a double pashut. The suffix was a different one. Tzolofchad ben Chefer was a Bechor to his father. And the din is that the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim, but only gets Pishnayim, he only gets a double portion. He only gets a double portion of what the father had at the time that he died, the assets that he had at the time of death. Let's say the father bought a sweepstakes ticket, and the drawing was after he died. So he wins $20 million after he died. So the Bechor just gets an equal share to everybody else. Well, let's say Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, let's say for argument's sake, Yitzchak died first, and Yaakov is the Bechor, and Esav is the Pashut. So Yitzchak was a wealthy man, so Yaakov Avinu gets a double portion. And then Avram Avinu dies after Yitzchak died. So Yitzchak Yarshin's Bekeber, the millions that Avram Avinu had, and it goes Birusha to his children, so Yaakov does not get a double portion. That's called Ra'ui, as opposed to Muchzak. The Bechor only gets Pishnayim B'Muchzak, and not Bira'ui. That's based on the Pasuk in Kiseitze, where it says, Kisein Lish, Deinoshim, Achasnua. So it says, Bukhola Shehi Matzilo. He only gets a double portion, Bukhola Shehi Matzilo, whatever the father has at the time of death. So the Gemara quotes this Tana, the student of Rameh, Talmud Shah Rameh, said, that was the suffix of Bnei Tzolofchad. Whatever Chefer, Tzolofchad ben Chefer, whatever Chefer had in his suitcase, his pajamas, his bathrobe, his sukkah, his lulav, whatever he had, so that Tzolofchad got a double portion. But the shadow was, what about the real estate in Eretz Yisrael? Did Avraham Avinu acquire ownership when he walked around the borders? That constituted the kinyan chazokah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the balabas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you make a kinyan chazokah, ilchu etinana right now. You acquire ownership now. So then when Avraham Avinu died, he went Birusha. Yitzchak died, he went Birusha, Birusha, Birusha. So Chefer already owned a share in Eretz Yisrael. So Tzolofchad should be entitled to a double portion. The Mishnah said Tzolofchad got a double portion, because that was the correct shot. But the suffix of Bnei Tzolofchad was, maybe this was not a kinyan, and maybe this was only a haftocha, kiluch ha-tenena, and the walking around the borders is a similar panacha, shetehei horetz nocha likovesh, it'll be easy to conquer. If it's only a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future when Yishuv Benun will conquer Eretz Yisrael, so then it's ra'ui, it's not muhsik, so then Tzolofchad should not be entitled to the Pishnai. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Nason titein lahem achuzas nachalo. Why does he say double loshon, Nason titein? So that's what the Mefarshim say, that he is entitled to the Pishnayim. That Tzolofchad ben Chefer gets a Pishnayim, not only in what Chefer had in his suitcase, he even gets Pishnayim in Eretz Yisrael, because as the Gemara says, the Loshon, Eretz Yisrael mechazakasim mi'aviseinim imoys Avraham Avinu. That's how the Gemara said, that's how the Yerushalmi says also, that this walking around the borders constituted the Kinyan Chazokah. The Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Kuf has a machloikas satanoim. What if I sell you a field and you walk around the borders, would that constitute hini chazaka bizman hazeh? So we paskin no. One Tana Rabbi Leizer says yes. This is a kinyan chazaka l'doris. We assume no. That was only a hirasha once in the history of the world. Walking around the borders constituted a chazaka, and the doris it's not a chazaka. But all the Tanoim agree that that is the pshat. By walking around the borders, this will constitute the kinyan chazaka. And Eretz Yisrael belonged to Eretz Yisrael mechazaka seim avasenim in Moshe Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps on making a shvua. He makes a shvua later to Avram and to Yitzchak and the Yankiv that he's going to give them Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean a shvua is going to give them? He already got Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu walked around the borders, he already got Eretz Yisrael. Why was it necessary to give a shvua that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to their descendants if it already belonged to Avram Avinu? So the Chazon Ish explains in the Sefer on Shviyas that unlike all other possessions that human beings have, which are subject to an international law of kibush melchama, that's the next parasha in the Chumash. Let's say one nation wages war against another nation, whether they have the right to or not. Russia entered into Hungary, whatever. The Nazis started to conquer the whole world. To Beisa, sometimes Beeta, sometimes Beisa. So whoever wins the war acquires ownership of all of the property. You acquire ownership of the territory, the karka, of the metaltalim, the automobiles, and the people, the azavadim. Whoever wins the war owns everything. The winner acquires ownership of everything. Sometimes it'll be begezel, and sometimes it'll be beheta, in self-defense. So the one exception to the rule is Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a shvua to Avram Avinu. Not only it belongs to you, Memele, when you die, go be Yerusha to your children. I give you a shvua. And the Ramban explains in his commentary on Chumash, Shvua means I'll call upon him under all conditions. No strings attached. Eretz Yisrael always belongs to the Jewish people, even when the land is conquered, taken away from the Jewish people. When the Babylonian army won the war against the Jews and they conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people never lost their ownership. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jews through all the years of the Golus, and we shouldn't think that in 1948, the British were kind enough to give it over to the Jewish people. It never belonged to the British. It always belonged to the Jewish people. From the days of Avraham Avinu on, we never lost our ownership. I remember once we had a guest, Talmid Chacham, give a shir in Rav Soloveitchik's class. So the gist of his chiddush, he had a whole bunch of kashas, and the teretz was, the assumption was that the Jewish people lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael at the time of Golus Bavel, and then when they came back in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, they made a kinyan chazaka. The Rambam says that when Yeshua ben Nun was mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the first time, the kibush was accomplished through, the kedusha was accomplished through kibush, kibush v'chiluk. That's why it took 14 years. The kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was only set in after the 14 years of kibush v'chiluk barav. And then the Rambam says, as opposed to the kedusha rishona, when Ezra Nechemi came back, they were mekadosh Eretz Yisrael ide chazaka. How do you translate the words chazaka? So this guest Rebbe was, he didn't say so, he was following Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, apparently writes like that in his Sefer, Eben Ozal Al Ramam. He understands Chazaka means Kinya Chazaka, the Karka Nikdens, because of Shtar B'Chazaka. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't like it in a big way. He was in the classroom, he was a guest in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class, we were learning Sanhedrin at that time. So he gave the shiur, Rabbi Soloveitchik argued with him on a couple of points in the middle of the shiur, he let him get away with everything, and then the next day Rabbi Soloveitchik came in and he said, when the Talmid Chacham makes a mistake, you're not supposed to be mechaben him. He wants all the students to know that what he said yesterday, that what the Talmid Chacham said is not correct. The Jews never lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael from the days of Avraham Avinu on. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Shvua. Shvua means I'll call upon him. A bris and a Shvua means I'll call upon him. Eretz Yisrael is the one thing that's not subject to kibush melchama. That's how some interpret the opening Rashi on Chumash. Rashi quotes the Medrash that the nations of the world will complain against the Jews. Listen at them, that the Jews are ganovim. The Palestinians say that the Jews are ganovim. We stole Eretz Yisrael from them. So Eretz Yisrael is the... Why do we steal Eretz Yisrael? They claim that they were living there for so many years. These Palestinians were never living there. But there were some Arabs who were living there in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer, it never belonged to them. It never belonged to the British. It never belonged to the Turks. It never belonged to anybody the whole time. From day number one, from the day that Avraham Avinu walked, Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people all the time. We never lost our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. And when the Rambam says that the Kedusha Shnei was Aydei Chazake, it doesn't mean Kinyan Chazake. It means something else. I remember recent years, I think it may have been the Oifru for Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, if I'm not mistaken. So my wife and I decided we're going to go surprise him. So we came to that community for Shabbos, and we didn't know there was a guest speaker, there was a guest rabbi in the shul from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro. So he was giving Hosea, they invited him to speak, I think, Shabbos afternoon. I was sitting next to Rabbi Wurzberger, Zechon Lebrach, who was the rabbi of the shul, and they had this, it was Parsha Shlach, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Parsha Shlach, and the guest rabbi was giving a drosha, it wasn't a shir, it was a drosha, it was all with Maral Miprag. Rabbi Moshe Shapiro is big on Maral Miprag. So part of the drosha was, he was understanding Chazokah like this guest rabbi. The guest rabbi was Rabbi Goren. The one who gave the shir, the Rabbi Soloveitchik, didn't like in a big way. And it was based on Rabbi Zalman's understanding of the word Chazok in the Rambam. So this Rabbi Moshe Shapiro also understood Chazok meant, and he was giving a whole interpretation based on the Islam Chazok. And so Rabbi Wurzberger was sitting next to me. He kept on whispering, "That's not pshat. Chazok doesn't mean." I kept on screaming. He didn't want to scream out loud to embarrass the Rabbi. He kept on saying, "That's not what it means." That's the Rabbi Soloveitchik thought in a big way that that's not what it means at all. Yeah, what was the story over here? So the Pasuk says that there was a war between the five kings and the four kings, and the four kings beat out the five kings. So the commentaries on Chumash explain, the Sfarno and the Ramban, they explain that whenever you have, even if the four kings are wrong, that they should have not waged war against the five kings, but still, bottom line, they won the war. So, since they won the war, so Kibbush Muhammad is kind of. Then Avraham Avinu is notified that his nephew was just taken into captivity. The four kings took over the five cities. One of the five cities was Sodom. And Lot, the big Chacham, decided to move to Sodom because that's where all the money is, even though it's a city full of sin. So Avraham Avinu felt you're not allowed to stand by. You have to fight for justice. You have to fight for freedom. So he puts together an army, and he wages war against the four kings, and he wins the war. When the four kings beat out the five kings, they acquired ownership of all the five cities. When Avraham Avinu wins the war against the four kings, he now acquires ownership of all the nine cities. Four cities with the five cities. Adds up to nine. He acquires ownership of the nine cities. What's the first thing that he does? He's going to give Maisa Ksofim. Whenever you come into money, you're supposed to give Maisa Ksofim to Tzedakah. He gave the Maisa to Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. What was the tzedakah? What was the charity? Why is he giving a Maisa Mikol? So the Medrash says that Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem was Shem Ben Noach, and he had a yeshiva. That's the famous yeshiva Shem V'Yever. Yeshiva Shem V'Yever. What did they learn in Yeshiva Shem V'Yever? That's the Shabbat. Non-Jews are not allowed to learn Torah. So what were they learning there? So the Pash, this is, the Gemara says there are a lot of Ben Noach is only permitted to learn seven mitzvahs, the two. He's permitted to learn the halachas that are nagir to him. So they were learning all the seven mitzvahs, Ben Noach. The pashtus is, that's what some say jokingly, that the tradition is certainly Lithuanian yeshivas that you only concentrate on the seven mesichtas of Noshim and Ezekin is rooted, that's the carryover from Yeshiva Shem V'Yever. They're not allowed to learn Zeroyim, it's not nagir to them. Not allowed to learn Kachim and Taras. They can only learn Noshim and Zikin. Can learn Moyed. They don't have that. But Noshim and Zikin, those are the Sheva Mitzvahs. But we're Jewish, so we can learn everything. Anyway, he had a yeshiva. So Avraham Avinu just came into a lot of money. He just acquired ownership of all the nine cities, millions of dollars over here. But Itala Maisa Mikos, he gives his Maisa Ksofim to support the yeshiva. The original source of Maisa Ksofim is in the Sifrei, on Parshas Rei. It says, Aser ti aser es kol tvo azarecha, ayotzi aser d'shana shana. So Tosfos in Tainis quotes this Sifrei on the Pasuk. Why does it say, Kefal Loshen, Aser ti aser? The Pasha Pshat goes on Hafroshes Maisris from Peris that grow in Eretz Yisrael. And the Kefal Loshen means you should give Maisik Sofim from any Revach. And then the Loshen of the Sifrei over there is, you should give the Maisik Sofim to Lomdei Torah, to support yeshivas, to support people who want to learn Torah. So the idea behind the whole story over here is that the four kings, one out of five kings, they acquired ownership of their areas. And then when Avraham Avinu wins the war against the four kings, he acquires ownership of everything. Whenever you acquire ownership of property, you're supposed to donate, if you can afford it, you're supposed to donate Maisa Ksofim. So then when Malki Tzedek Melech then when Melech Sodom, what is he asking? So the Poshab Shad we read, he's offering to give a gift to Avram Avinu. Baruchush kachloch. And Avram Avinu turns down the matana. He says, no, thank you. I'm not interested in any gifts. No one should say, Ani hasharte es Avram. That's the Poshab Shad. So the Mefarsh Machumish say, no, it's just the reverse. He's not offering a gift to Avram Avinu. He just lost ownership. He lost the war against the four kings. Now Avram Avinu acquired ownership of all the nine cities. Avram Avinu owns everything. So Melech Sodom is not offering a gift to Avram Avinu. He's begging that Avram should give him a gift. He says that he sees that Avram Avinu just gave Vayitan lo Maisa Mikol. Avram Avinu just gave Maisa Ksofim to support the yeshiva of Shem Be'ever. Malkut Tzedek Melech Shalom is Shem Ben Noyach. So Melech Sodom says, oh, I see you're a very charitable person. Maybe do me a teva. Ten li an efesh. I used to be a king, and I'm Melech Sodom, former Melech Sodom. Do me a teva. Maybe give me back the people. So you keep everything as taka yours. Maybe donate some charity to me. I used to be a melech. So de machzara sheachzalo. Give me back all the people. I'll be able to be a king again. So Avraham Avinu says, I'm going to give you everything. I'm not interested in keeping anything. The ma'isik sofim have to give. That's a din. Whenever you come into money, if you can afford it, you should give ma'isik sofim. But the rest I don't want at all. So he gave everything. He gave everything away. So it's not that Melech Sodom offered. That's how the Ramban and the Sfarno interpret in the Pesukim. It's not that Melech Sodom is offering to give a gift to Avraham and he turns down the gift. Melech Sodom is asking, begging that Avraham Avinu should give him a donation. I see that you're so generous. You gave Maisik Sofim to support the Yeshiva Shem Yever. Maybe give me a donation also. Make me back your king. I said, I'll give you everything. I don't want even the Rechush. He said, Michut Vatzrachnal. I don't want to take anything. So the Gemara says, because of this expression that Avraham Avinu said, Michut Vatzrachnal, Zochu Bonav, the descendants of Avraham Avinu, was Zechut to the two mitzvahs. To the mitzvah of tzitzis, you have strings and tzitzis, and to the mitzvah of ritzuas of the tefillin, tzroch nal. Because the ritzuas, years ago, they used to have shoe straps. If you ever saw a chalitza shoe, so the straps on the chalitza shoe are exactly the same as the ritzuas on the tefillin. Black on one side, rough on the other side, white on the other side, exactly looks like tefillin. So because this was the expression that Avraham Avinu said, Michut Vatzrach nal, and this was a Kiddush Hashem, he didn't want to take anything. He gives everything back to the Melech Sodom, so that's why the Jewish people, his descendants, was zechut to these two mitzvahs. So Rabbi Kiveger has in on Shulchan Aruch, says when you wake up in the morning, you get dressed. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes an old minhag from the days of the Tanoim. There's a brisa in the middle of Masechet Shabbos around Daf Samach Aleph or so. The Gemara quotes a minhag from the days of the Tanoim. When you get dressed, you put your right shoe on first, then you put on the left shoe. And then when you tie the shoes, you tie first the left shoe, then you tie the right shoe. So what is that based on? First you put on the right shoe, then the left shoe. When you take a shower, you wash first the right side of your body and so on. You always do things with the right side. So this is based on, there is a din, what Kohanim do, hakrovas hakarbonis, they're supposed to do the avodah b'imin. If they do the avodah b'small, it'll be possible b'nievet. And by Kiddush, we hold the cup of Kiddush in the right hand. You can't say if you hold the cup of Kiddush in the left hand, you're not yotzei. But l'chatchil we hold in the right hand because we're performing a mitzvah. And if a person is a righty, so you should do it in a more b'kavodik way. It's a hida mitzvah to do it with the right hand. By hakrobas hakarbonis, it's a hida mitzvah that's ma'akev. If the kohen does the avodah with the left hand as possible. So then we have a minig. The Rambam has a whole arichas and hilchas deyas that a person should fulfill a pasuk. B'chol derachecha do'ehu. We don't divide our daily activities into two parts, secular activities and sacred activities. Everything is sacred. When the person makes a living, and when the person eats, and he drinks, and he goes to sleep, and he lives with his wife, and he raises children, and everything is a sacred activity. B'chol derachecha do'ehu, all day long. A person should realize that when he's eating food, the Rambam says he's eating the food to be healthy, to do avodas Hashem. When the person is married and raises a family, that's what God wants him to do. It's not when he daven in shul, when he puts on the talis and tefillin, he's doing a mitzvah, and the rest of the day is secular. Everything is avodas Hashem. So just like when we do mitzvahs, when the kohen does hakrovas hakarbonis, he does bimin. And when you say Kiddush, you should hold the bimin. So when you take a shower, when you put on your shoes, when you get dressed, you should always do everything bimin. You should to show b'chol derechecha du'eyu. Everything we do in the daytime should be l'shem shamayim. When it comes to tying the shoelaces, so we want to make a zecher. So the Gemara says, why do you tie the left shoelace first? Because the tefillin is put on the left arm. So therefore, what's the connection between the tefillin and the shoelaces? So Rabbi Kivega on Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this minhag, it's an ancient minhag from the days of the Tanaim, a minhag over 2,000 years old. So Rabbi Kivega quotes from the Panim Yofis on this pasuk, because we were zechet to the Ritzulis Hotel, because Avraham Avinu spoke about not accepting Tzroch Nal. He's not even going to take a shoe strap. So we want to make a zecher in the shoe straps and the shoelaces to the tefillin. So just like with respect to tefillin, the left arm is more important than the right arm. We put the tefillin on the left arm. So when we tie the shoelaces, we tie the left shoe first and then the right shoe. That's an old minhag from the days of the Tanaim that's based on this parsha. We have another very old minhag that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah mentions it. And some claim that it already came from the days of the Talmud Yerushalmi, which is older than the Talmud Bavli. There's a minhag that you get married tachas kippas harakia. That the boy and the girl, they're sitting in a building, so you walk outside, and you get married outside under the stars. Why? Because later on, HaKadosh Baruch appears to Avraham Avinu, so it says, Vayotze osa hachutza. He tells him, go outside of the building, and he tells him, pick up your eyes and look at the stars. So we do the same. We want to invoke that blessing. A young couple is getting married. It depends. If the woman is an almana, she's 65 years old and her husband died and she's remarrying, so you don't insist she should get married outside. She's not interested in having babies at the age of 65. But if she's a young girl and she wants to have children, so we want to invoke this blessing. So we do. So we walk outside of the building. Now they have the shtick, you stay in the building and take off the roof. They roll off the roof. That wasn't the minhag. The minhag always says, Vayotze osa achutza. You tell a person, go outside. And your tachas kippas harakia. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu, he'll have a lot of children. Svakacha metuchalispar, some ko yez arecha. That was the blessing. So that minhag is also based on this, on today's parsha. Some say that that's pshat in the Yerushalmi. Taisus in the first perek in Yuma, on Daf Yud Beis, quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi, we have Erisin and we have Nisuin. So how do we do Nisuin? So you stand on the chuppah, we assume that that's Nisuin. So the Yerushalmi sounds like it says, Taisus quotes Yerushalmi, sounds like it says that standing under the chuppah is only koined by a girl who's getting married for the first time, a besula. When a woman is already divorced, or she's an alman, or she's remarrying, so then you're kind of with chuppah, you have to have dafke bia. Only the bia is kind of. So nobody understands why. Where does it come from? What is it? What in the world is it based on? So apparently some of the earlier achrayim said the reason why was because when a young girl would get married, they would shtel a chuppah outside, tachas kippas harakia. Yerushalmi is already assuming this meaning. The chuppah would take place tachas kippas harakia. So chuppah, that's outside, is kainah. When an almana, when an older woman gets married, she's ready in her 60s. So she's not interested in having babies then. It's not healthy. She doesn't want to have any children then. So they wouldn't invoke this blessing. So they would get married inside the building. So when the chuppah is inside the building, then it's not kainah. So they quote Rab Chaim Olajan Arrest. It doesn't make sense. Why should it make a difference whether the chuppah is inside or outside? But that's how the early Rachrenim understood. When the chuppah is inside the building, it's not kainah. I can understand why, because they understood that chuppah is kind of because it's called hachnasa l'rishusa. The Gemara says in the middle of Ksubas, how do you accomplish nisuin? So the Gemara says if the boy gave a ring to the girl, said harat mekudeshes, and she's married, and then he takes the girl to his home, so hachnasa l'rishusa, that is nisuin. That's a beis zuishto is only in the suah, the Gemara says, because beis means hachnasa l'rishusa. So if you have a chuppah outside, so the chuppah constitutes a room. It's considered a room. And that's considered rishusa shel achasan. So when the kala stands under the chuppah, it's considered as if the chosam was machnas the kala into his rishus. But if you have a chuppah inside the building, so the walls are makif the whole room. So if you have a chuppah in the middle of a room, the chuppah is not considered a separate room. So everybody, you have 100 people, you have another 100 people in the same room, it's not considered a separate room. If the chuppah is outside in the middle of the street, so then the chuppah is a separate room. So this haknas of rishus. So Chaim Elojana doesn't like it. He thinks, what's the difference whether the chuppah is outside, the chuppah is inside? It's still a haknas of rishus. He doesn't understand that. But that's what the early Achranim interpreted. They thought that this was this minig already existed in the days of the Yerushalmi, that they would have the chuppah dafke outside. The Gemara has another additional level of interpretation on the pasuk by Yotze Osa Chutz. The simple pshat is, he said, go outside of your tent, Chutz La Ohel, and look at the stars. The Gemara has another level of interpretation. Avram Avinu thought, Shem Elokim Atitan Libanecha Holach Hariri, I don't have any children. He feels awful. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, Lo Yirash Chazikim Asher Yetzim Mimecha Hu Yirashecha, you are going to have children. So, but Avraham Avinu knows that b'derech hatev it's impossible. The Gemara says he and his wife were both unable to have children. That's not that she saw I was an akora. He was an akora, she was an akora. Nothing was normal. So he says, "Vayotzeh hachutz tzei mitz tagnina shulcho." The Gemara has a whole sugya, a whole blat Gemara in the end of Masechah Shabbos. Ein mazel li Yisrael. Doesn't mean that the Jewish people are always unlucky. Doesn't mean good luck as opposed to bad luck. It means a different thing. The Ramban considers that Gemara an Iker in our Emunah, the Ein Mazel Yisrael, that Umis Oilem Atacha Shlita Sakachovim Bahamazolas, that by the non-Jews, there are rules and regulations in history, just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So he set up rules and regulations in physics and biology and chemistry and mathematics and so on, astronomy, everything goes with rules and regulations. So too there are rules and regulations of history. And if a person understands what's happening and he knows what the rules are, he can predict what's going to happen in the future. And the one nation that's not subject to the rules and regulations is Klal Yisrael. That's what it means, Ein Mazel Yisrael. That the history of the Jewish people is not Tachas Shlitas HaKachovim V'Hamazolos. The Ramban understands if you know how to look into the stars, you'd be able to predict the future and history of any other nation, except for the Jewish people. That's a medrash later like that, that when Yaakov Avinu is running away from Esav, so he sees Malachim Olam Miyordim on the ladder. So the different interpretations in the medrash. So one of the interpretations is that the Malachim represent the Sarak Shal Kol Uma V'Yuma. Every nation has its rise and fall, the rise and fall of the Nazi government, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, the rise and fall of the Greeks. Every country goes to its peak and then it goes down. Now in the middle of the fall of the American, there was a rise of America, and now we're beginning to fall. Okay, every country has, except for the Jewish people. We don't have a rise and a fall. So Yaakov Avinu sees Malachim Olam Yerdim Bo, so then the Medrash continues to say that the Rabbanu Shalom tells Yaakov Avinu, okay, now it's your turn, you go up. So he starts to tremble, I don't want to go up, I'm going to go up, I'm going to fall down. He says, no, I promise you, the Jewish people, I'm not going to go down. The Ramban says the Jewish people go up and down, up and down, up and down, depending on whether they observe mitzvahs or not. It says in the Chumash, if we observe the mitzvahs, it rains in Eretz Yisrael. If we violate Averis, if it doesn't rain, it won't rain. The Ramban says that makes sense. That's Lamaila Menateva. That doesn't make any sense. He says, you see from the whole Chumash, the Jewish history is Lamaila Menateva. So that's what the Medrash says on this pasuk, Vayotze Osa Achutza. Same Yitztagnina Shulcho. You look in the Yitztagninas, you're looking at the Kechov and the Mazolas, you're looking at the future, that B'derech HaTeva, you are an Akar, your wife is an Akar, it's impossible to have any children, B'derech HaTeva, there isn't going to be any Jewish people. I promised, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu, you're going to have descendants. He says, it's not going to happen. Medically, he can't have any children. So the Baruch Shalom says, forget about it, that the Jewish people are L'mayla Men HaTeva. That's the whole sugya in the Gemara. That Ein Mazel Yisrael.
Does that mean Am Yisrael?
The Rajbana Tshuva says that it only means Klal Yisrael. It doesn't necessarily refer to individual people. Individual people, that's a question how you read that Gemara. Long daf in Masechah Shabbos, hardly any Tesis there. There's a lot of Gemara there, the whole different stories. So the Rajbana Tshuva claims that it means Klal Yisrael is L'mayla Men HaTeva. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him, no, no, you're going to have children. Then he says, Shem Elokim, Bamo Eida Ki Ir Hashenu. Bamo Eida Ki Ir Hashenu. I mean, how do I know I'm going to get Eretz Yisrael? How do I know I'm going to have children? I'm going to have Eretz Yisrael? Because he just promised them he's going to have children, going to get Eretz Yisrael. So the Mesillas Yesharim quotes that there's a machlokes in the Medrash on this pasuk. Was this a proper question or not? How do I know you're going to keep your promise? Maybe you're going to double cross me. It's a chutzpah. So one opinion in the Medrash says he was punished because he said, how do I know you're going to keep your promise? So the Baruch Shalom says, three psukim later. I'm going to punish you for talking like that. B'moeda, the Jewish people are going to suffer. They're going to be in Golus Mitzrayim because of your sin that you didn't believe what I said. You didn't trust me. That's one opinion in the Medrash. The other opinion in the Medrash is the way it says in the last daf in Gemara Megillah. There wasn't anything wrong with the question. B'moeda ki roshenu. What he was asking was be'ezes chus. What mitzvah do I have to be careful about? Be'ezes chus will my descendants have the right to maintain Eretz Yisrael? So the Baruch Shalom says, "Kali Yegla Mishulashes," which means "Bischus Hakravas Hakarbanas." If the Jews will be medactic about bringing karbanas, then they'll have the right to maintain Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Gemara interprets this parsha. Then the Gemara, in the last half of Megillah, the last Amid base of Megillah, the Sichta ends on an Amid Aleph, so it's next to the last Amid in Megillah. So then the Gemara continues the conversation, which doesn't appear in the Chumash. Avraham Avinu asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, "This is good, Bisman Shabes Hamigdash Hayikayim." What's going to be Bisman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kaim? And the Jews, 1948, the Jews don't have the ability to bring karbonas. So what's going to be? What right do we have to maintain Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, he quotes, he tells him the Psukim in Novi, if the Jews recite the Psukim HaKarbonas, Ma'ala Ani Aleim Kilu Hikrivim, I will consider it as if they actually brought the karbonas. That's by the Rabbeinu Yonah in the first parak in Brachas in his commentary on the Rif. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that reciting korbanos is a din d'oraisa. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes it's a nice idea, it's a recommendation, it's a midas chasidus to recite korbanos every day. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, "What do you mean a midas chasidus?" The Gemara says that it's the Rabbeinu Shalom told Avraham Avinu. Whatever Rabbeinu Shalom said, that's a din d'oraisa. We're supposed to recite korbanos as a din d'oraisa. Bisman she beis hamikdash hayikayim. So bring the korbanos. Bisman shein beis hamikdash kayim. You got to talk about the karbonas. Those who are Zionists should say karbonas. The Neturei Karta should not say karbonas. They hold the Jews don't have the right to rule over Eretz Yisrael. But those who want to maintain Jewish control of Eretz Yisrael, so we only have the right to maintain control if we bring karbonas, or we plan to bring karbonas. We're interested in bringing karbonas. So they made the bris ben absurd. That was the minig, the way they used to make a bris in those days between two human beings. So the Shekhinah passed through. Tanu Oshem Lapidesh over Ben Akzam Hele representing the Shekhinah of Avraham Avinu went through, and the Shekhinah went through, and that was the Krisis bris. Vayomahu Karas Hashem Es Avraham Bris Lema Lezarach Anasate Soretz Azos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. The bris was that it's going to be Al-Kol Panim. He already owned Eretz Yisrael from before. He already made the Kinyan. But this was the Krisa's bris, and the bris is equivalent to a Shvua. They both mean Al-Kol Panim, that Eretz Yisrael will never, the Jewish people will never lose their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the mitzvah of Mila to Avraham Avinu, and then he repeats again. At the time that he gives him the mitzvah of Mila, he repeats again. Zos bris asher tishmeru b'ni b'nech min zarach achrecha, ima lachem kol zachar, he should perform bris Mila. And then he repeats again that he's going to give him Eretz Yisrael in the schus of the mitzvah of Mila. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in the end of Perek Yid Anoshe writes a very interesting chiddush. The Rambam says that we today continue to observe the mitzvah of Mila not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. The only mitzvahs that are binding Ledoris are those that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. That's the concluding pasuk of Chumash VaYikra. as well as the concluding pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar. That's what it says both. Eila mitzvahs, asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, eila, only these and only these are the mitzvahs. Mitzvah means that it's noig l'doris, because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Any other prophet before or after Moshe Rabbeinu cannot give a din l'doris. So the mitzvah of Mila was given to Avraham Avinu as a harashah. It was only intended as a, at that time it was only harashah. When it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai, so then it became a din l'doris. The psukim in Parshas Lech Lecha, it says, this bris milas l'doris olam. So apparently the Rambam understood that that wasn't told to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Mila as a harashah, but then the doris seichem, the doris olam, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Even though he didn't say that at that time, it was written, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, because that is the din. When it was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, it became the din of doris. The Rambam writes it regarding Bris Mila, and he writes it in his commentary on Mishnayos regarding Gid Anoshe. The Rambam understood that that was a Machlokes HaTanoim. The Rambam quotes a Medrash Rabbah in the end of Hilchos Malachim when he quotes the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So he writes that Adam HaRishon was in Tzitzis six mitzvahs. He was not given the mitzvah of Eid Menachai because he had to be a vegetarian. He wasn't permitted to eat meat at all. And after the Mabul, when Noach was permitted to eat meat, Kier HaKesev Asat HaLechem is called, just like until the days of Noach, they were allowed to eat the vegetables only. So now they're allowed to eat meat, kiyara kesef. Now you can eat meat also. So then, once meat is mutter, so Rabbi Baruch Shalom had to give the din of Eiv Menachai. So the Rambam writes the whole Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And then he says, so the first six mitzvahs were given to Adam HaRishon, then the seventh mitzvah was given to Noach. And that's the way things were going to the days of Avraham Avinu. And then he quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, Avraham Avinu was in the Tztava Alamila, and Yitzchak was Hifrish Maisris, and Yankov was in Tztava Angid Anoshim. What is the Medrash trying to bring out? That each one of the Ovis was given another mitzvah. Yitzchak Avinu was not nitztaved to be mafrish maisris. The Medrash says, there was a famine in the days of Yitzchak. Yitzchak followed always in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. So just like when there was a rob in Avraham, Avraham went down to Egypt, so Yitzchak was about to go down to Egypt. Then the Baruch Shalom tells him, no, you're not allowed to leave because you're an Oilot Mima. If you'll be Yotze L'chutz L'Oretz, you'll be Nifsal B'Yotze. Your father was not a Korban Oilot, so he was allowed to go down to Egypt. If you'll go, you won't be following in the footsteps of your father, you'll be Mishana. If Avraham would have been a Korban, he wouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Gur Baruch Hazois, stay here in Eretz Plishtim. So then the Pasuk says, V'Yizrei Yitzchak Baruch Hahi, V'Yimtzav Bashanahi, Me'ashar Me, 100 times as much as he expected would grow. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, even though it wasn't the original part of Eretz Yisrael, it was given to him, that's the Gaza Strip, it was given to Yitzchak. Originally it wasn't given to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was only given Eretz Zayin Amamim and not Eretz Plishtim. When Yitzchak was on his way to going down to Egypt, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gur Baretz Azayis, and then he tells him, I'm giving you this too. So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, that was the Gaza Strip is given to Yitzchak Avinu. And then Yaakov Avinu was given even more. Farat the Yom of Akedma, it's a funny enigma. More was given to Yankov Avinu. So Rashi writes, by Yisrael, Yisrael Baratah, even though it was a year of a famine, the whole area had a famine, and even though Baratah, it wasn't really Eretz Yisrael proper, it was just added on to Eretz Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu just gave it to Yitzchak at that time. There were two strikes against the successful planting that year. It was the year of a famine, Bashanahi and Baratahi. It wasn't Eretz Yisrael proper. Nonetheless, the Imtza Meir Sharim, he found it grew 100 times more than he expected. Why? When people plant, so they have an expectation how much they're going to have. So, yes, a Pashab Shad. The farmer knows approximately how much is going to grow. So, Rashi quotes a Medrash. Rashi made the Medrash famous. He made an Omid Lemaisris. Yitzchak was trying to figure out how much will probably grow and how much Maisa will I give. What do you mean, Maisa? Let's say a person has a farm in North Dakota. He's mafrish maises. You can only mafrish maises if you're nitztaveh. If you don't have a mitzvah, maises is not chal. So what do you mean? How did Yitzchak have the ability? So that's what the Medrash understands. Yitzchak kifrish maises. The Rambam is quoting Medrash. Avraham was nitztaveh mitzvah of milo. Yankov Avinu was nitztaveh not to eat gidon osher. Yitzchak wasn't nitztaveh that he has to be mafrish maises. He was given opportunity. the lashon of the Rambam for the Medrash Rabbi is Yitzchak Kifrish Maisis. Avraham Avinu was Nitztava Ala Mila, Yankov Avinu was Nitztava Ala Gidon Asha, and Yitzchak Kifrish Maisis, he was given by the Rabbanu Shalom the opportunity, the ability to be Mafrish Maisis. So what is Medrash driving at? That each one of the Ovis got an additional mitzvah. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that the pshat was the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham and his heart is B.C. Yaakov, Avraham B.C. Yitzchak, Avraham B.C. Avraham Iskar. There was a separate priest's bris. You keep on reading in the Chumash. There was a bris with Yitzchak and a bris with Yankin. And every time he made the bris, he promised Eretz Yisrael again. So what does it mean? Each one of the others had a bris. Avraham Avinu was Jewish and Mimela, his children were Jewish. So the Mishlah Melech has a discussion whether the others, Kodesh Matan Torah, had the Kedushas Yisrael, or maybe Kedushas Yisrael only took off after Maimon HaSin, after Matan Torah. Mishlah Melech has a whole essay. That's the first essay in the Sefer Parashas Droch. That's a Drush Sefer. So he has a machlokes Tosfos in the Ramban. Tosfos thinks that the Ovis Kodesh Matan Torah were not Jewish, and the Ramban thinks that they were Jewish. He has a machlokes. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, like others, that it's a compromise shita. The idea of Kedushas Yisrael is Kedushana b'mitzvah Sov etzivonu. Kedushas Yisrael is not stam an abstract concept. Kedushas Yisrael means you're a person has Kedusha, it means he's mechuyev in certain mitzvahs. Eretz Yisrael, there's a Mishnah in the first perek in Kelim. Eretz Yisrael mekudeshes mikol ha'aratzos, shem yivim menu ha'imer shtei alechem. Ayoros ha'mekafes chayma mekudeshes from the rest of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim is more mekudesh than ayoros ha'mekafes chayma. Es ha'kedushas, there are 10 levels of Kedusha. Each level of Kedusha is mechuyev in additional mitzvahs. No such thing as tam. Kedusha, holiness, sanctity means so Avraham Avinu was only stava one mitzvah over and above the Shevi mitzvah minach. So he had a partial kedushas Yisrael, not like the way the Mishnah now presents it. So Machlokes Taisus in the Ramban whether the others had a din Yisrael. So the Pashta says they had a partial din Yisrael. They only had one mitzvah. Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah, so he had a deeper kedushas Yisrael. That's why the Rebbeinu Shlomo made another kriyas mitzvah. Achat is b'si Yaakov, achat is b'si Yitzchak. Then Yaakov was nitztava on an additional mitzvah named Nagira Nasha, so his Kedushas Yisrael was deeper. And in every generation when they were given more mitzvahs, the Rambam says from the days of Yaakov Avinu until they were in Mitzrayim, so then they weren't given additional mitzvahs. Then he says, Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, was given additional mitzvahs. It doesn't say Chumash, he must be quoting a Medrash from somewhere. I don't know if the Mefarshim dug up the Medrash yet, but that's what the Rambam must be quoting. He didn't make it up from thin air. He says, Amram went to stab additional mitzvahs, then they were given Pesach Mitzrayim, and then on the way to Maimon Hasina, B'morah, they were given a few mitzvahs, then finally Hasina, they'd be given all the Taryag mitzvahs. So as you keep on going, and there are more mitzvahs, so the more mitzvahs there are, so the more Kedushas Yisrael there is. So that was, the Rambam quotes that Medrash that Yaakov Avinu was nitztava on Gidon Asher, but the Mishnah has a machlokes Hatanan per Gidon Asher whether the mitzvah Gidon Asher only began from Maimon HaSinai or it existed from the days of Yaakov Avinu. So the Rambam is wondering how can it be a machlokes Hatanan, but the Medrash Rabbah says that Yaakov was nitztava on Gidon Asher. Each one of the others got a new mitzvah. Avraham was nitztava on Amila. Yitzchak wasn't nitztave to be mafrish maisis, but he was given the opportunity, Yitzchak kifrish maisis, and Yankov was nitztave of Gidon Asher. How could it be a machlokes Hatanan? So the Rambam understands in the Pirush HaMishnah, not a machlokes, but the Yankov was given the mitzvah of Gidon Asher. The machlokes Hatanan is, why are we today obligated to observe Gidon Asher? Is it because it was given to Yankov Avinu from then on with Mechuyev? Or no? We assume no. It was given to Yankov Avinu, but no other Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu can give a mitzvah that's binding l'doros. That's the concluding pasuk in Chumash by Yikra, and the concluding pasuk in Chumash by Midbar. Eila ha-mitzvahs, eila v'loy acherim. Only these are the mitzvahs, namely those that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the bottom line is that we today are obligated to observe Gidon Asher, not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu, but rather because it was repeated at Har Sinai by Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why the Rambam has this comment in his Pirush HaMishnayos on Gidon Asher. He says the mitzvah of Milo that was given to Avraham, clearly given to Avraham Avinu, and the mitzvah of Gidon Asher, he has the Medrash Rabbah, was given to Yaakov Avinu. Not that Tosfos seems to learn that is the Machlokes HaTanaim, whether the mitzvah of Gidon Asher was given to Yaakov Avinu, Well, no, it was really given a harsina, but it's written here in Chumash Bereishis. You should know the historical background. So the Rambam does not understand like that. The Rambam says everybody agrees that it was given to Yaakov Avinu. That was the mitzvah that was given to Yaakov. That's why his Kedushas Yisrael was deeper than that of Yitzchak, and his was deeper than that of Avram Avinu. Because Kedusha is to the extent that you have mitzvahs. But the Machlokes HaTanaim was whether we today are obligated to observe the mitzvahs because they were repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu, or because it was given to Yaakov Avinu. And the Rambam adapts that position. We pass like the Chachamim there. That we today are only mechuyev to do Mila and to do Gid Anoshe because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Remember about 10 years ago, maybe longer, 15 years ago, there used to be a New York Board of Rabbis. I don't know if they still exist. Could be that they closed. They still exist. Okay. So they used to have a Bris Mila board to approve Mohalim. So they had in the newspapers something like 15 years ago, a major breakthrough. They finally approved 7 Mohalos. 7 women are approved by the New York Board of Rabbis that they're allowed to perform Bris Mila. In the Moran Avodah Zarah, this is a Machlokes Amoraim. How do you know that a Jew has to be the Mohel? Why can't a non-Jew do the Bris Mila? So Gemara says, one Amara says based on one Pasuk, one Amara says based on another Pasuk. And what's the difference whether based on Pasuk A or Pasuk B? The difference is, can a woman, a Jewish woman, she's Jewish but she doesn't have Bris Mila on her body. So can a Jewish woman serve as a Mohelet? So in the Shulchan Aruch, strictly speaking, it says that we paskin, like Rov HaRishonim, that a woman can serve as a Mohelet. But L'chatchila, because it was a Machlokes HaRishonim and there's a minority opinion that not, so we avoid it. If it's a Shas HaTchak, then we will allow a woman to perform the Bris Mila. What's a Shas HaTchak? So the Shach says if it's the Yom HaShmini, and there's no man who knows how to do the Bris Mila, so we'll ask a woman to do it. We won't wait till next week to get a male moil. Because Mikra Adin, we pass on a woman may do it. But Shalai B'Shas HaTchak, Shulchan Aruch recommends you should not rely on the New York Board of Rabbis. You should not permit a woman to perform the Bris Mila.
How can
we not learn from the Gemara asks, why not learn from the story of Tzipora? The simple reading of the Pasuk says that Tzipora was Malha's son. So the Gemara says one could interpret the Psukim differently, that Tzipora got a Jewish man, there were other Jews there, Tzipora got another Jewish man to perform the Bris Mila. But Tikach Tzipora Tzor, she took the sharp instrument. She took it. But tichras maybe means she got someone to do it for her. She got another Jewish man to do it. That's how the Gemara suggests. There is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch whether a mumer, a Jew who's a mumer, who doesn't observe Rov Dina HaTorah, so mumer Dina Ka'akum, how far do you go by declaring mumer Dina Ka'akum? You can't use the mumer as a Shabbos guy. Let's say there's a Jew who's totally not observant. You can't sell your chametz to him. You don't say mumer dina ka'akum. He can be my Shabbos guy. I'll sell a chametz to him. With respect to certain halachas, we say mumer dina ka'akum. So what's the din over here? When you get to a nochri cannot perform a bris mila. So what if you have a Jew who is totally non-observant? Sometimes in the hospitals you have like that. The doctor is a totally non-observant Jew. He doesn't come to shul even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He's Jewish. He doesn't come to shul at all. He doesn't observe anything. Can he perform the Bris Mila? So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says no. Rabbi Kibege quotes the Bir Agro, who quotes the Taisus. Rabbi Kibege quotes the Bir Agro, quotes the Taisus, that Taisus disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. Taisus says that a mumer can. So that sometimes that's an issue. Sometimes that's an issue. I remember Rav Soloveitchik said that he consulted his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, on this matter, and his father thought that you have to follow the Shulchan Aruch, that we shouldn't permit a mumer to perform the Bris Mila. So if the parents of the child live in a... The child would come up sometimes. I remember one of my classmates was a chaplain in the army in the Philippines. And his wife used to go to mikveh in the ocean. She was always afraid she'll be bitten by sharks, so she used to wear a loose bathrobe. She thought wearing the daughter robe is going to protect her from the sharks. Psychologically, it protected her from the sharks. And then he had a baby boy. And there was no, the only moil there was a non-observant doctor in the army who wasn't keeping anything. And you have sometimes cases like this. A couple lives very far away from a religious Jewish community. For whatever reason they lived there. And then they have a baby boy, what do they do? So Rav Soloveitchik's psak was, he said he consulted with his father and they worked out the following psak, that if the parents are religious people, so then they should wait even a half a year, even a long time till they can come back to civilization and get a religious mom. But if the parents are not so observant, and there's a concern, if you wait too long, so they may not want to perform the bris milah. Many people years ago didn't want to perform bris milah. After the Second World War, many people didn't want to have a sign on their body that they were Jewish. A lot of times the Nazis didn't know whether someone was Jewish, or they would take a look, but they had a bris milah, so they knew it was Jewish, they would kill them. So after the war, many Jews didn't want to perform bris milah. Now in the United States, there's a big movement. In other countries, they want to outlaw bris milah. They don't want to perform, they consider it barbaric. We consider it a very holy mitzvah. These people consider it barbaric. So Rav Soloveitchik thought if there's a concern that the parents, if they wait long, because when the baby is only 8 days old, so he doesn't feel anything. He cries because they're touching him, not because he feels the pain. But if you're going to wait till he'll be a half a year old, then he's going to feel the pain. So the parents may not want to do the bris milah. So if there's a concern that if by postponing they won't want to do the bris milah, so he said, then it's a shas atchatz, and then we should follow Rabbi Kiveger and the Vilna Gaon, who quoted the Tosfos and Avot Zarah, that a mum can't perform the bris milah. The Mishnah Masechah Shabbos points out that Psukim in the end of the Parsha speak about two different types of Eved Knaini. There's a mitzvah of Milan and Eved Knaini. There's Yilid Bais and Miknas Kesav. Yilid Bais means his mother was a Shivcha Knainis. So if his mother was a Shivcha Knainis, he's an Eved Knaini. An Eved Knaini has a Kedushas Yisrael, a Tchayiv Mitzvah Keisha. A Jewish person, if a baby is born Jewish, he's Jewish whether he has a Bris Milah or not. Even if you don't do the bris milah, he's Jewish. In Yiddish, they say, "Migate Yiddish and das Kind." We're going to make the baby into Jewish. That's a Yiddish expression, but halachically it's not correct. The baby is Jewish, even if you don't perform the bris milah. If you have a non-Jew and you want to convert him to make him into a Jew, or you have a little baby, you want to adopt a non-Jewish baby, convert him. So then the milah is a maisa geiris. Then you're supposed to have a bezin present at the time that you do the milah. The Shein Geiris. So the Mishnah distinguishes between the two Avodim Knainim. If you have an Eved Knaini whose mother was a Shivcha Knainis, so just like if the mother is Jewish, the baby is Jewish even without a Bris Milah. So that's a Milah Shal Mitzvah. So Milah Shal Mitzvah is done Bishmini. So if you have the mother is a Shivcha Knainis, so when the baby is born, he's already Jewish. He's an Eved Knaini. So that's a Milah Shal Mitzvah. So that Milah has to be performed on the eighth day. And the Rambam says that Milah is Decha Shabbos, like the Milah of Yisrael is Decha Shabbos. So the Milah of Debek Naini is also Decha Shabbos. But if he's a Miknas Kesef, if I bought him, let's say Nochri sells himself, he can't make a Parnasa, and he wants to sell himself as an Eved Knaini to me. He doesn't have to sell himself if he wants, he can be an employee of mine. If he's an employee, he's not an Eved Knaini. He wants to sell himself as an Eved Knaini, okay. So then you have to be Malhim L'Shein Geirus. So Milah L'Shem Geris, there is no din of Shmini. Milah L'Shem Geris can be before the Yom HaShmini or after the Yom HaShmini. There is no halacha of Shmini. The Maharsho, in the end of Perek Rav Lezer de Milah, Masechah Shabbos, the Gemara in the end of Perek Rav Lezer Milah talks about Milah Shal Mitzvah and a Jewish baby on Eved Knaini, and then a Milah Shal Geris on the Miknas Kesef or on any Ger. So Gemara talks about differences between the two. So there's a difficult mashor there, where the mashor had a girsa in the Gemara, and the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva about this, but he talks about it. There was an opinion, the Rabbi Natam's opinion, that you cannot be mal a baby, the Shem Geris, before the eighth day. So that has not been accepted. We don't hold up that. Tosis, in fact, in the end of Avodah Zarah, in the Sugyos of Stam Yenim, Tosis says, and the Rabbi Natam said a teretz on a certain kasha, we're not even going to quote it. That's the teretz that he said. Rabbi Natan gave a teretz on a certain kasha that Milah the Shem Geris cannot be performed on the baby before the eighth day. I remember I was once talking to Rabbi Gifter after a bris, and the family bris. So I mentioned this Rabbeinu Tam, so he said, there is no such Rabbeinu Tam. He was always very sure of himself. So I showed him the Rishon, so okay. Because it's so far, it's so unheard of, that a Mila L'Shen Geres cannot be performed before the Eighth, that nobody holds like that. But the Chassam Sofer quotes, there's such a Marsha, there is such an opinion of Rishon HaMachmer. We don't accept that opinion. We assume that there's a difference. Mila L'Shen Geres doesn't need Shmini. A Mila L'Shen Mitzvah, if the baby is Jewish anyway, and the Mila is only done the Shem Mitzvah, then it's a din of Shmini, and when only when it's a din of Mila Bizmana Shmini, then it's Decha Shabbos. So I'm going to ask Akasha, how did the Rambam know that Mila's Evet K'naini is Decha Shabbos? The Gemara in Perek HaBleza in the Mila quotes Machlokes HaBleza, the Tanur HaBleza Ben Hurkanus is of the opinion, not only Mila's Decha Shabbos, Nachshirei Mila, the Hachonis in advance. Let's say they didn't carry the knife, to carry the knife, and to cook water, to bathe the baby, to prevent infection, and so on. Well, the hachonis for the bris, everything is derech Shabbos. So we don't accept Rav Leizer's opinion. We pass on only the etzem mila itself, the machshir mila, not derech Shabbos. So the Gemara says that this sheet of Rav Leizer, which we don't accept, is not only with respect to bris mila, with respect to all the mitzvahs like that. Let's say, first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, and there's a mitzvah to shake a lulav, and I forgot to cut the lulav off in the tree. So Rav Leizer says, you're allowed to cut a lulav off in the tree, you're allowed to cut the yesrig off in the tree, you're allowed to do hachonis for any mitzvah. So the Gemara says, and what about to write a mezuzah? A guy moved into a house and he doesn't have a mezuzah. You're allowed to write a mezuzah on Shabbos? Allowed to nail the mezuzah on the door on Shabbos? The Gemara says, no. Mezuzah not, then tzitzis not. You're not allowed to tie tzitzis on a beggar on Shabbos. Why not? If you hold machshiri mitzvah decha Shabbos, it's Rosh Hashanah and it's Shabbos and you don't have a shofar, so you can shech the behemah and cut off the knife and carve it out. You can be mechal Shabbos to prepare a shofar. We later on the Chacham made exer the Rabbanon. You're not allowed to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos because you may forget and carry the shofar. But before the exer the Rabbanon, so Rabbi Leizer's opinion was everything goes. You can even manufacture the shofar on Shabbos. Everything goes. So the Gemara asked, why is tzitzis and mezuzah an exception to the rule? The Gemara says, because tzitzis and mezuzah, you can pate yourself in the mitzvah, so not an absolute chiyuv. If you mafke the house and mafke the beged, then you're not chayv in mezuzah, you're not chayv in tzitzis. The only time Rabbi Leizer holds, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for all mitzvahs, to prepare the mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, like a shofar or lulav, there's no way for you to get rid of the mitzvah. But if there's a way to pate yourself in the mitzvah, then that mitzvah is not derech Shabbos. But that's what Achreinim is, and the Rambam had. If my wife has a baby, even if I give the baby up for adoption, I'm the father of the baby, I have the chiv to do the bris mila b'shmini, and the shmini and Shabbos says derech Shabbos. But if I have an evek nini, and the yom hashmini and Shabbos, I can sell the evek nini to someone else, and I won't be mechuyev to perform. I'm only mechuyev mila's evek nini, kol zman is my evek nini. I'll sell them to a goy, I'll sell them to another person, I'm not mechuyev. So how does the Rambam know that Mila Bizmana of an Avik Nani is Decha Shabbos? Maybe shouldn't be Decha Shabbos, like the Gemara said according to Rav Leizer. It's an interesting kasha. The simple teretz is that Gemara only says that rule regarding Machshirei Mitzvah. To write a mezuzah, or to tie the strings onto the garment. Tying the strings on the garment is not the mitzvah. Wearing the garment is the mitzvah. So Rav Leizer holds even Machshirei Mitzvah, Decha Shabbos, so that's only if the nature of the mitzvah is such that there's no way to relieve yourself of the mitzvah. It's an absolute obligation. But if you're talking about the actual mitzvah itself, the milah itself, we don't pass on like Rav Leizer. Achshire milah derech Shabbos. We pass on only the mitzvah itself is derech Shabbos.
Rav Leizer denied in this case the
achshire
milah, not
derech
Shabbos.
Probably would. Rav Leizer would agree. Achshire milah, not derech Shabbos by Nebek Nani. But by us, we don't pass on like Rav Leizer anyway. We just told the actual mila itself is derech Shabbos. So that's the mitzvah itself. So maybe that klal in the Gemara, then whenever it's a mitzvah that's not, there's a way for you to pati yourself. So then it's not derech Shabbos. Maybe that klal only goes on the machshirin. Maybe it doesn't apply to the actual mitzvah itself. But that's the kasha that they ask on the Rambam. Okay, very good. This Shabbos I'm supposed to be learning Parshas HaShavu in the morning. We'll have to discover something else in the parsha that we didn't discuss. What time is shiur on Sunday? What do we make up?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock shiur till 11:30. And on Monday, when is the b'china?